Reading selected verses from John 6. Many of the disciples heard Jesus speak about him being the bread of life and said, "This is tough teaching, too tough to swallow." Jesus sensed his disciples were having a hard time with this and said, "Does this throw you completely? What would happen if you saw the Son of Man ascending to where he came from? The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word that I have spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this." Jesus knew from the start that some weren't going to risk themselves with him. He knew also who was to betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you earlier that no one is capable of coming to me on his own. You get to me only as a gift from God the Father." After this, a lot of his disciples left. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. Then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. "Do you also want to leave?" Peter replied, "Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armour that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armour now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tight around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I am in prison. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel as I should. In this is the word of the Lord.
Pray. Loving God, through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ. Amen. A visit to Ephesus in Turkey had been on my bucket list for a long time. When I was able to visit those ruins, I was not disappointed. They are regarded as the best preserved place of antiquity in Asia Minor. Over time, that city has suffered earthquake and flood. such as only 5% of the original city, is still visible. Yet what still stands is amazing. We walked for K's on roads made by the Romans, past remains of houses, public lavatories, with their intact terracotta pipes, and the amazing library. In the first century, Ephesus was the capital city of the Roman province of Asia. It had a population of 250,000, Greeks, Romans, Jews, and people from all around the Mediterranean lived there. At that time, it was a port. It had a medical school, shrines and statues, an outdoor amphitheatre, and an underground sewer system. It was a large, multicultural centre for trade and commerce, a thriving cosmopolitan city. It was also the centre for the worship of the goddess Artemis. Her temple, regarded as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was located in Ephesus. It was into that multicultural, multi-faith city that Paul went with the gospel. He stayed there briefly at the end of his second missionary journey, and on his third journey, he stayed about 2 years. The Acts of the Apostles tells us that while Paul was in Ephesus, many were converted and became followers of Jesus. However, a number of Ephesians opposed his preaching, and he eventually ran into organised strife because a silversmith called Demetrius, who made charms and items for the worship of Artemis, complained that these new followers of Jesus had stopped buying his silverware and his business was suffering. Demetrius must have had a lot of influence because there was a riot, and this led to Paul having to leave Ephesus. In AD 60, when Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesian church, he was in prison in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier. He called himself an ambassador in chains and prisoner for Christ Jesus. While in that cell, he thought about and prayed for those Ephesian Christians who faced daily harassment. Christianity was illegal in the Roman Empire until AD 313, and it would have been a challenge for those new Ephesian Christians to live in that pagan world. Paul decided to write a letter of encouragement to them about spiritual battles, about fighting sin and evil. He looked at the armour of the soldier to whom he was chained and decided it could be used as a metaphor for that spiritual battle. The soldier wore a belt around his tunic. His sword hung from that belt so as to give freedom of movement. Paul called it the belt of truth, suggesting that Christians can move freely because they know the truth. The soldier had a breastplate which protected his chest. Paul called that the breastplate of righteousness, suggesting that when people are clothed in righteousness, they're impregnable. He had sandals on his feet, meaning he was ready to move quickly, a sign that followers of Jesus should be ready to witness about him. And he had a shield. Not a small round shield, but a great oblong one made of two sections of wood glued together. And when a dart dipped in pitch and set alight was thrown at that shield, it sank into the wood and the flame was extinguished. Paul called that shield the shield of faith, suggesting that faith can repel all flaming darts. and the soldier had a helmet, which Paul called the helmet of salvation. Leaving off any piece of armour would have been dangerous, but to leave off the helmet would have been unthinkable. The helmet of salvation gave wearers strength to face the future. And finally, there was the sword, which Paul referred to the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is a Christian's main weapon in spiritual warfare. Was Paul saying that getting dressed like a soldier is all a person needs to do in order to have faith to follow Jesus? Does putting on the uniform of a sailor, a pilot, or a nurse give the wearer the faith to actually be a sailor, a pilot, or a nurse? Isn't following Jesus more than just putting on armour or uniform? Does coming to church each Sunday, praying, singing hymns, listening to the music, the readings and the preaching make us followers of Jesus? Remember the story of the fight between David and Goliath. David told the giant his battle secret when he said to him, "You come to me with sword and spear, I come armed with faith." The armour we are encouraged to put on is not literally the armour of a soldier, but the armour of God's encouragement, of God's compassion, of God's love, of God's empowerment, of God's support. It's the armour of faith. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is portrayed as being popular. For wherever he went, crowds who had heard his teaching and witnessed his miracles followed him. John's gospel tells us that Jesus had turned water into wine, healed the son of a Jewish official, cured a paralysed man, fed a crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fish, calmed a storm and walked on Lake Galilee. As well as those and other miracles, Jesus' teaching had been about the acceptance and love God has for all. That was something those people had never heard before. God's love, care and concern for the world would have been unbelievable to the Jews. They believed they were God's chosen people and God loved only them. They believed that when the Messiah came, he would come only to the Jews and not to the Gentiles. God loving Gentiles? Loving the world? No Jew would have believed that. Jesus even said that so-called sinners were accepted and loved by God, which would have been a revelation for them. And when Jesus told the crowd that he was the bread of life that came down from heaven, they believed he was claiming to be God. And that was the last straw. They could believe he might be a prophet. They could believe that if he was the Messiah, he could replace King Herod. They might even believe that God loved Gentiles. But they could not believe Jesus was the Son of God. The crowd began to argue amongst themselves about this. Some said, "He's Joseph's son, the carpenter of Nazareth. We know both his father and his mother and his siblings. How can he say he came down from heaven?" And some of those followers said, "His teaching is hard. Who can accept it?" And many decided he was not worth following and left. Was Jesus disappointed about this? Was he frustrated? Was he angry that people had decided to leave him? He didn't ask them to stay. He let them go And he even offered his 12 disciples the opportunity to do the same when he asked them this question: "What about you? Do you want to leave too? Do you want to stay with me or go with those who are leaving?" If any of the 12 had wanted to leave him, that gave them the opportunity. And Peter replied on their behalf when he said, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter was saying, "We've considered leaving you. We've even talked about it. We even talked what it might be like to leave you. But who can lead us like you do? Who can teach us like you do? You have the words of life. We believe you are the Son of God." Peter wasn't saying that they had nowhere better to go. There's nothing better on the horizon, so we'll stay with you. They knew that in following Jesus, they had the gift of being with and knowing the Son of God, who could give them life, genuine life. At that time, Peter and those disciples showed great courage when they agreed to stay with and follow Jesus while so many were leaving him. By remaining and saying what they did, they were also showing they had faith in Jesus. Remember the words of St. Paul to that church in Ephesus? He called the soldier's shield the shield of faith. But what is faith? It's the voice which says, "You can." You can, not because you're young, not because you're old, not because you're strong, not because you're weak, not because you've been coming to church for a long time. You can because you're a child of God. Faith is knowing that we're loved by God, and that we will be supported and upheld in every situation in life. A story. A French tightrope walker had walked many times on tightropes strung between tall Paris buildings whilst blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow. An American promoter heard about his feats and invited him to visit America and walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. He accepted the invitation and flew to America. A large crowd came to see this feat, which was to begin on the Canadian side of the falls and finish on the American side. To the roar of the crowd, the man, blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow, successfully walked a tightrope suspended over Niagara Falls. Now on the American side, the tightrope walker asked the promoter a question. "Do you believe that I could walk across the falls on a tightrope blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow?" "Of course I do. I just saw you do it," was the reply. Again, the tightrope walker asked, "Do you really believe I can do it?" "Of course I do. You just did it," was the promoter's reply. "No, no, no," said the walker. "Do you really, really, really believe I can do it?" "Yes," said the promoter. "I really, really, really believe you can." "Good," said the walker. "Then you get in the wheelbarrow while I push it back to Canada." It's not known if that promoter had the faith to actually get in that wheelbarrow while it was pushed back over Niagara Falls to Canada. And so often we really, really believe that Jesus can help us, support us and uphold us, come what may. Yet we don't have the faith to metaphorically get in the wheelbarrow. Having faith to follow Jesus is not a philosophy, it's not a theory, it's a personal response to what Jesus did and is doing for us. Faith means we can face challenges and problems in our lives, as well as injustices in the world. Faith will help us make sense of the confusing world in which we live. It will give us the confidence to face life despite problems and setbacks. Faith is not a hope which looks forward with longing. It's the hope which looks forward with conviction. Let each one of us put on the armour of God, including the shield of faith, and then say with Peter, "Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. I have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God."